Matthew 13, Matthew's Gospel, the 13th chapter, verse 31, and we'll be reading through verse 35. Let's hear the word of our Lord this morning as he continues to speak to us in these parables, these stories that have these deep truth and teaching for us for our personal life. Matthew says, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked through all the dough. Jesus spoke these things to the crowd until all in the parables, yet he did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables and I utter things hidden since the creation of the world." Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we ask your blessing on your word this morning. Open our hearts to you. Give us ears to hear through your spirit this morning your message to us, that from these two simple illustrations and truths, you would speak to us, that we'd be encouraged and taught by your word this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for the power of your word applied by your Holy Spirit to us. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there anybody here that likes fresh garlic or horseradish? I like, especially if you're, Connie does, if you're having roast beef, maybe you put horseradish on that. But especially if it's fresh garlic, I love garlic, especially in my spaghetti and things like that. But if you have fresh garlic and fresh horseradish, I tell you, a little is all it takes. Did you ever try to eat a whole bunch of garlic or horseradish at one time? If you have sinus issues, it will take care of your sinus issues for you, because a little bit is all that it takes. There was a guy in our church at Columbia, one of the pillars of the church there, that every day for lunch, he would have a Limburger cheese and garlic sandwich. And he would eat Limburger cheese and garlic. I hear your reaction. And he ate it so much that it came out of him. And his daughter worked at the doctor's office in Columbia, and he would always come in there and he'd always visit her. And after he left, she had to spray the whole office down because of the Limburger cheese and garlic. Because a little bit is all that takes. You don't need a lot. One of my favorite shows in syndication TV from years growing up, when I was growing up, was the Brady Bunch. And I always liked to watch the Brady Bunch. And Kim and I always had this contest: when the Brady Bunch episodes come on, we can usually be the first one to guess the episode by how it starts. But there was an episode when Bobby, the youngest boy, was chosen to be a hall monitor at school. And he went to be the hall monitor, and one day he had to get his picture taken. All the hall monitors, and he wears a little badge, and he had to wear his Sunday best suit for his picture. So he put on his Sunday best suit for the picture and went to school, and his mom said, "You be very careful, that's your Sunday best clothes. You come right home, don't get it dirty. Don't get your clothes dirty." So on his way home, a girl stopped him and said, My cat got in that house and up in the chimney. Can you help me get it out?" So he helped her, and he went up into the chimney. All the ashes came down on him. He got the cat out, but his suit was filthy. So he thought, "Well, I'm going to wash my suit before my mother comes home so she don't find out." So he took his suit off. He put it in the washing machine. He put some detergent in. And instead of putting a little bit in, he dumps almost a whole box of detergent in. He goes upstairs and he's working on his homework. He checks, he comes down to get his clothes out of the dryer, washer to put him in the dryer, and he walks in, and there's suds through the whole laundry room. If you may remember that episode, there's suds everywhere. And then Alice and Mrs. Brady comes home, and they see these suds coming out of the laundry room, and the whole laundry room's filled with suds, and they call Bobby's name, and he's underneath the suds, and they couldn't find him. Because it only took a little bit. Because a little bit can do a lot. In the parables that Jesus told us, these two this morning we're going to look at, that's the main truth. And a little bit is all it takes. Both of these parables illustrate how something that seems very small and insignificant can have a profound and a major impact for the kingdom of God. Do you ever feel insignificant? Do you ever feel, what impact can I have for the kingdom of God? What difference can I make in a world that so desperately seems to be going the wrong way? What impact can I have when things seem so insignificant? What difference would it make, or can I ever make? Do you ever feel that your faith is so small? And what difference can that make? Because it can't really matter, because my faith sometimes seems so small and the challenges that I face seem so big. And how am I ever going to overcome them because my faith seems so tiny? And the obstacles ahead of me seem like mountains that are immovable. And how am I ever going to get past it? Maybe those insurmountable mountains that you face of doubt and fear, anxiety, whatever it may be, say, how am I ever going to get past that? We can be encouraged because these parables this morning, in these parables, two parables that we're going to look at, Jesus teaches us two important lessons about the size of our faith. Because we're going to learn, friends, that a little bit of faith is all that it takes. And if you just have a little, God can do great things with your little bit of faith. And we can be encouraged by it. So let's look at these stories this morning. The first one is a parable of, it's been called the parable of the mustard seed. And in it, Jesus says that a sower took a mustard seed, which Jesus says was one of the smallest of all the seeds. It's tiny. And he sowed it in the ground, and it grows up, and it produced a big tree that got so big that even the birds could come and rest in its branches. A small little seed that seemed so insignificant, what difference could it make? But it made a big impact, so much so that even it brought blessing to others, that the birds could come and rest in its branches. So the first truth we see from that principle is a little faith in the power of God brings about big things. On the right here, you see a picture of mustard seeds. That's how small they are. And then you see the big full-grown plant on the left that comes out of those little tiny seeds. You say, so something so insignificant, what could a little tiny seed do? But yet a little bit of faith is all you need. In the power of God, our great God, can bring about and produce big things. Do you believe that? That's what this story is. That's what Jesus is teaching us. That the kingdom of heaven, this is the principle on how Jesus says it works in the spiritual kingdom of God. That something tiny, the smallest of seeds, can produce a huge tree that can bring blessing to others. Because why is that true? Because it's not the size of our faith. It's the size of our God that matters. The power was not in the mustard seed. Jesus said it was the smallest of seeds. The power was not in the seed. The power is in our God. The power is not in our faith. It's in our God. When your faith is placed in the Almighty, all-powerful God, it doesn't matter how small that faith may be, big things can happen. Do you believe that? And that's what we hold on to. There's some great examples of that in the scripture. of the small boy's lunch whenever Jesus is teaching the multitude on the side of the hill. And it came time after he had taught them all day, he turns to his disciples and said, you feed them, because this was a lesson in their faith. He said, you feed them, find them something. So they went out through the crowd and they said, Jesus, even if we had day's wages, we wouldn't have enough to feed all these people and year's wages. It's a multitude. He said, will you find them? So they went out and they found this small boy. You know the story. And they brought it back and they said, but we found this small boy. He has 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what is this among such a multitude? What could this little boy's lunch do? But they took it to Jesus and Jesus blessed it. And what happened? You know the story. He multiplied it and fed a multitude, 5,000 men plus women and children, over 15,000. It wasn't the boy's lunch. It wasn't a small thing. It was the power of our God. Or what about a slingshot and a stone? A little slingshot and a stone, small thing. But when it was in the hand of God, when David, in the power of God, said to come against Goliath, you come at me with sword and spear, but I come at you in the name and the power of the Lord God whom you defied. And that small little slingshot and stone in the power of God brought a giant down to its knees. Or a staff, an ordinary shepherd's staff, which was nothing, in the hand of Moses, but really in the hand of God, brought the Pharaoh of Egypt and the whole nation, the most powerful super world at the nation at that time, to its knees. It wasn't the small thing. It was the God who was working behind it. So no matter how small your faith is, when it's put into the hand, when we trust in our all-powerful, almighty God, who nothing is impossible for, big and incredible things can happen. You believe that? Only believe. All things are possible because it's our God who does it. The size of our faith isn't what's important. It's the size of our God. William Carey made a statement. Founder of modern day missions said, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Because God is big. Jesus is teaching us here in this parable first that it's not our faith, but it's the object of our faith that makes a difference. It's not the size of our faith, it's the size of our God that matters. So I ask you this morning, how big is your God? Do we limit him? And we say, man, I can't get through this obstacle I'm facing because God's not big enough to take care of it for me. You think God's greater than any concern you have? You think God's bigger than any problem or thing that concerns you? Sure he is. It's not the size of our faith, it's the size of our God. And sometimes we don't see things happen because we make our God too small. And we limit him. The smallest of seeds, but it produced a great result came out of it. Do you limit what you believe God can do and will do? How big or how small is your God? It's not the size of our faith, it's the size of our God that matters. Because if you have faith, the size of a mustard seed, Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible for you. Because we have a God who is all-powerful and nothing is impossible for him. Second thing we see under that is that we don't have to muster up more faith. We just have to have faith. Jesus said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be moved, and it will. A mustard seed, the smallest of seeds, Jesus says in verse 32, but yet when it grows into the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree. We don't have to muster up more or think, boy, in order for God to work in my life, in order for God to move this mountain, somehow I just need to muster up more faith. No, we don't need to muster up more faith. We just have to have faith and just believe. No matter how small it may be, Because it's our God that does the work. It's not our faith. It's our God that does it. And our God's the one who moves the mountains. Our God's the one who clears the obstacles for us. So even the smallest amount of faith can produce great results. And that's what Jesus is teaching us here. The smallest of seeds, but it grew up into be a great tree that even the birds could come and rest under its branches, and it could produce blessing to others. And from that, God brought great results. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 17. Just go back a couple chapters. Beginning at verse 14. The disciples, Peter, James, and John, the inner three, had just been up with Jesus on a mountain of transfiguration. And there they had seen Jesus transfigured into all his glory temporarily. And Moses and Elijah had come to talk with them, and they had seen the full glory of Jesus revealed. And while they were up on the mountain, Peter, James, and John with Jesus, the other disciples were down below in the valley, ministering down there. And a man brought his son to the disciples who were possessed with a demon. And they were trying repeatedly to cast this demon out, and they couldn't. So Jesus now comes down from the mountain. And when they came down, they saw them. And the disciples, the man said, we brought this, have mercy to my son. He has seizures and is suffering. He falls into the fire and the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. So Jesus turned to the disciples in verse 17, said, "O unbelieving and perverse nation, how long shall I be with you? How long do I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." And he rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. But then verse 19, the disciples came to Jesus in private and said, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you, if you have faith as what? As small as a what? Mustard seed. You can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, for nothing will be impossible to you." Jesus saying, even the smallest amount of faith can produce great results. They were because it's the power of God at work. Moving a mountain was a figure of speech that was used in that time to describe the most improbable, insurmountable outcome or obstacle. And sometimes we have those things that we're facing in life that seem like an immovable mountain that we just seem like there's no way over, around, or across. And we say, "How am I ever going to get through this?" Jesus says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, even the smallest amount of faith, that mountain will move, because it's not the faith that does it, it's our God that moves it. And faith and trust in him. So what mountains do you need the Lord to move for you today? Jesus draws a stark contrast here between the smallest of seeds and the immensity of a big mountain. And think of that. He said, a faith as small as a mustard seed, which is the smallest of seeds, packed up against a big mountain. You say, what can that little seed do against that big mountain? But Jesus said, if your faith even is that small, God can move that mountain for you if you believe. Because it's in him, and we can trust him. Even the smallest amount of faith is all that matters. And turn with me to Luke chapter 17. The first one dealt with the mountain of obstacles that we face. And even a little bit of faith is all we need. God can do it. But in chapter 17 of Luke, Jesus was teaching here about forgiveness as the chapter opens. And he says to the disciples, if someone forgives you, you forgive them. If your brother sins against you and he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and seven times a day comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. And Peter, speaking for all of them, says, well, Lord, increase my faith, because, boy, I couldn't do that. If someone comes to me and comes to you over and over and over again, Abel, and asks you to forgive them for the same thing they keep doing, you say, I don't want to forgive you for that. Or any of us. Sometimes we did, how can I do that? And Peter says, I don't feel like doing that. I can't do that. And Peter says, increase my faith. And what does Jesus say? He says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the smallberry tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea, and it will obey you. He's saying, all you have to have is faith. God will breathe the rest. And God will enable us to forgive when we can't. God will enable us to forgive those people that we don't want to forgive or we have a hard time forgiving. God will enable those mountains to move. All we have to have is just even the smallest amount of faith. It can bring about big results. Well, there's a story of this boy that was walking down the beach, and the tide had come in and gone out and had left all these starfish all over the beach. The beach was just loaded with starfish. And this boy was walking down the beach, and he saw these starfish. He said, if someone doesn't get them back into the water, they're going to die. So he starts walking down the beach and picking up one starfish and throwing it in the water, picking up another one, throwing it in the water, picking up another one, throwing it in the water. And this guy stops and says, boy, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to save these starfish. Someone doesn't get them into the water, they're going to die. And he says, the beach is covered with starfish. Do you think you can make a difference? What difference do you think you're going to make with all these starfish? You're only one person. The boy didn't say anything. He reached down, picked up a starfish, threw it in the water, and says, it makes a difference to this one. You know, and that's the impact that we can have. God can use you and I. We may not be able to make a difference and change the whole world, but we can have an impact with the people we know. And the smallest amount of faith in our life that we use to put into the hand of God, he can use it to bring blessing to others. You believe that? That's what this story and parable is about. It's not the size of our faith. It's the size of our God that matters. And little faith in the power of God brings about great results. Go back to Matthew, because faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. What mountain do you need the Lord to move this morning? He can do it. The second thing we learn from the second parable is a little faith in the word of God can bring about great change. Notice verse 33. Jesus told him another parable. He said, the kingdom of heaven, the way it works in my kingdom, the spiritual domain, is like yeast that a woman took and put into a large amount of flour until it worked through the entire dough. Simple story, simple parable. We can grasp what he's saying here. A parable of a lady making bread, yeast bread, mixed the dough up, and then puts the yeast in it that makes the chemical reaction so that the dough will rise. A simple, and it affects the whole dough. And you say, well, what's Jesus teaching us from that? What's he want us to learn? Well, Jesus told this parable to illustrate how the transformative power of God's word brings about dynamic change. That when God, through his word in our life and in the world, can bring about dramatic change, just as yeast brings about the dough into bread. And what kind of change does it bring? Well, it brings about internal change. Yeast exerts its influence from within. If you ever made bread, anybody here make homemade bread? You make homemade bread, you mix it up, and the yeast does its work from within inside. If you're looking at the dough outside, you can't see the yeast at work. It's doing its work with inside the dough. And God does his work through his word in your life and mine, that his word transforms our heart from within. And when our heart is transformed from within, it then makes a difference that people can see the outer change. You can't see the yeast working, but you can see the result of it, right? You can see the bread rise. We can't see God's word at work with your heart or mine, but we can see the outward result of the change that it brings. And that's what Jesus is saying here, that it brings an internal change, and that's where it's got to start. Because we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. That happens by the word of God doing his work within us. We talked about in Sunday school this morning that it's out of the heart comes all those things. And as Jesus says, as we think in your heart, we are our heart, so we are. So that internal change, God's word changes the heart, which then changes and produces a changed life. An internal change. Yeast also works and it brings about a comprehensive change. Notice what Jesus said here. It works throughout all the dough. It works through the whole dough. A little bit of yeast is all it takes. If you put too much yeast in, that's no good. But a little bit of yeast works through the entire dough. It influences its influence into all of it until it is all completely risen. God's word does its work comprehensively within our entire life. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 13 says that the word of God is powerful and active and able to penetrate into the deepest parts of us, even to divide soul and marrow, joints and sinew. To the deepest, most parts, it's comprehensive. His word gets into our entire being and changes us totally when we allow his word to do his work. And then his word at work in the world can change and produce change in our world. Do you believe that? It can happen comprehensively. It can bring about change through the power of the word at work comprehensively. But also it's a quiet change. Yeast does its job slowly and quietly. You don't hear it working. It's quiet. It's secret. It's causing the dough to rise secretly and quietly. You don't hear it, but it's quietly doing its thing. And God's word at work in you and our life quietly changes us from within. It may not be dramatic at times, but his word is quietly, secretively changing us from inside to make us who we need to be. It becomes evident whenever the bread rises, you can know that the yeast was at work. Whenever those changes happen in our heart, we become more loving and more forgiving and more patient and the fruit of the Spirit. We can see that the word of God is at work in our life, but quietly he does that, secretively, and his work is being done within. And that's what he's telling us here. You can see the results, and God's word will not return void. It will accomplish the purpose in which it is sent. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11 says that God's word will accomplish the purpose that he has for it in our life. As he secretively is quietly at work, transforming our heart as we listen and yield to his word, but we have to listen and yield to it. The dough has to be receptive to the yeast. We have to be receptive to the word of God. And it's also a patient change. It brings about patient change because it takes time for the dough to rise. It just doesn't happen instantaneously. You can mix the bread and the dough, put it in, and then you have to put it in a bowl or a pan or and cover it over. My mom, when she would make her homemade bread, she would mix up her dough with the yeast, put it in a pan, a bowl, and put a towel over top. And then let it sit, and you had to wait patiently for it to rise in its time. And me, I always wanted to see the bread, and I wanted to hurry it along. And I got impatient. So I would come, and I would pick up the towel, and I would look to see, and what happened? It fell. Why? Because you tried to rush it. You have to work in time. God, as his word does his work within our heart, he patiently is at work. His word is making those changes in it, and we can't rush his work in us. And when we try to rush his work, what happens? Boom, we fall. So God is patiently at work within our hearts, patiently at work in the world. Do you believe that God is patiently at work within our world, accomplishing his purpose? And in his time, he will accomplish it. And that's what he's saying here. And just as yeast affects the dough, so it affects us. We got to be patient and wait on his timing and let him do his work in us. And it results finally in a profound change. From a small lump of dough, with the yeast at work, it produces and rises and then produces the loaf of bread and brings about profound change. When God's word does his work in your heart and mine, the end result, quietly, internally, comprehensively, and patiently, produces a profound change in our life. And it produces that same kind of profound change in the world. And God can have that same, his word can have the same kind of influence and impact in our world and those around us. We see that illustrated through the church at Colossae. The little town of Colossae, and you see that sign there, Colossae, and where do you see the town? You don't see it. Because the church at Colossae was a little church in an off-forsaken place. And Colossae was a place that was seemed to be unimportant to God. But yet, the same message that Paul was preaching in Ephesus and Rome, the capital city, and all the other places, was being shared at the church in Colossae as well. And Colossae was a town that had been moved. I mean, the road had been bypassed it, and it was on a major trade route, but the road bypassed it, and it went by, and they built like a new superhighway, and it then kind of became deserted. And the church that was there was bringing the word of God, and it met in a small little house. And the leader's there, name was Epaphras. Epaphras wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a big name. He had no fame whatsoever. He was rather unknown. But yet, as he was faithful to God in sharing the truth of the word of God, the church there was established and continued to grow in his house. And they had big impact. And it was a little church, and that little city was having impact all around the world. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You'll find it after Philippians. Paul's writing to them from Rome, the capital city. Paul had never met them. He had never been here, but he said, because we have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank God the Father of you for you, because we have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love you have for all the saints. This tiny little place in the church in an off-forsaken place, meeting in a house that was still small, had a big impact, and Paul, in the capital city of Rome, heard about their love for the Lord and the love they had for others. They were bearing fruit. They were being fruitful in verse 5 and 6. He says the faith that sprang from and all over the world, this gospel is being shared and fruit is growing just as it's been doing among you. And their little church made a big, significant impact because a little is all it takes. And our little church here in Chickentown may seem small and insignificant. We're certainly not a mega church. You say, what influence can we have? But we have our God who is great. And our church can have a big impact and is in many different ways. Look at all the things we've done in reaching people. But it's not the size that matters. It's our God. And having that impact in him, because little is much when God is in it. A little bit of faith is all it takes to bring about, bring change. Faith. Little faith in the power of God brings about big things. And little faith in the word of God brings about great change. A little is all it takes. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for these parables that illustrate to us that no one or nothing is insignificant to you. Even the smallest things that seem insignificant, when put into your hand and trusting in you, can bring about great change and results. And Lord, at times we feel insignificant. We feel, what difference or impact can we ever make in the world around us? But Lord, as we trust in you, you and in your great power, you bring about and do great things. You use ordinary people to do extraordinary things through the power of a super ordinary, extraordinary God. And so, Father, with you, nothing is impossible. So thank you, Lord, for reminding us of that simple truth this morning. And that big, a little bit of faith in the word, in your word, brings about big change within us. as you secretively and quietly and inwardly bring about that change in us through your word, comprehensively affecting all of our life, mind, will, and emotions, as we yield it to you, bringing about that change in our life that you so desire. Transforming us from glory to glory, transforming us more into your image and likeness as we yield to you. So thank you, Lord, for using little things. Things that seem insignificant, because that's all every one of us. And thank you, Lord, that through that, you do great and extraordinary things. So Lord, we can expect great things from you as we attempt great things for you, because we have a great God who can do all things. We thank you that little is much when you are in it, and a little bit of faith is all that it takes. Just as small as a mustard seed, but from that you can move mountains. And Lord, I pray that the mountains in our life this morning, whatever they are, mountains of doubt, fear, worry, anxiety, unforgiveness, bitterness, discouragement, whatever they may be, that those mountains will fall and crumble this morning at your feet, because you are able to move those mountains. And we trust in you, our great and powerful God. And it's in his name, the name of our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.